Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final hour of the show, final hour of the week. Josh Getzoff, the voice of the Penguins in the final half hour. So we'll talk some hockey. I mean, why not? We're looking at low temperatures right around zero or below zero. So let's talk hockey in the final half hour with Josh. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle in this half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Okay, you got Penn State wrestling on BTN tonight at 6. They wrestle at Michigan. In Ann Arbor. Tomorrow, you got Penn State basketball with Iowa. You got hockey tonight. They got Wisconsin tonight, tomorrow. But also, as part of this weekend, you got the NFL playoffs. You got the Bengals and the Titans. Then in prime time, you got the Packers at Lambeau hosting the 49ers. Then coming up on Sunday, you've got two more games, the Rams against the Bucks. And then the primetime game will be the Bills and Chiefs at Arrowhead. So you need to stock up right now. Get in the car. Do as I say. Go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. They have wine coolers, lots of water, great selection of soft drinks, snacks and snacks and more snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And that pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. All right, I want to hear you there, New Berlin. Indeed, second to none. Yes. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great selection of pre-owned inventory with that all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. And your trade-in has never been worth more, and you have a sales staff that's going to work with you. They will work with you. Your budget means everything to them. That's why they have so much repeat business, customer service. And speaking of customer service, their service department is outstanding. Inspections, routine maintenance, the difficult. It's one-stop shopping. It's all at our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Before we get to Rich Scarcella, our play-by-play call of the day, Nikola Jokic sets up the game winner for the Denver Nuggets.
Jokic, five on the shot clock. They double-team him late. Cross court, Gordon for the lead. AG for three.
Running on the court.
Ty Lue is stealing a timeout right now. He's drawing one up for his team.
As he should, because right here, this is what Aaron Gordon knocks it. You hear the buzzer, so everybody runs on you thinking it's the game. They're cheering. Davon Reed is at half court, which should be a technical. I'm not going to lie. That should be a technical. That's why Mike Malone was going crazy.
And they're
going
to call the technical foul on Davon Reed.
Poor guy. And you understand, it was the shot clock buzzer he heard going off.
But in the end, it did win it, and the Nuggets in overtime beat the L.A. Clippers on that play. A wild ending between the Nuggets and the Clippers in Denver at the Pepsi Center. All right, let's bring in the outstanding Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, my friend. Anytime you're on the show, it's always great. Appreciate you. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. I believe this is the last day that the players can declare for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I think we know almost everybody along the way. For coaches, all these dates come into play. How difficult do you think it is to be a coach now in terms of how of shaping a roster based on everything you've got to overcome?
Well, just look at December with Penn State and James Franklin, everything that went on, and you're trying to close your 20, well, almost close your 22 class. You're trying to sign 20-some kids, high school seniors, to letters of intent. You're dealing with players opting out of the bowl game by announcing that they're foregoing their final year of eligibility, and you're also dealing with the transfer portal. And you're still, I mean, you're dealing with the transfer portal every day.
Right.
But just like, and then you're also trying to prepare for a bowl game. So, I was thinking about that during December, how crazy December must be for college football coaches. And it's not a job that I would like to be doing, I could tell you that.
All right. So, we're sitting down in a room and they ask our opinions. What changes would you make to make the system better? Do you have anything off the top of your head that you would think that might make the system better, that you'd throw out there as something that they should discuss?
Well, there's two things that I would consider. And the first one is I would consider eliminating the December signing again, the early signing. Because so many – it impacts everything. It impacts whether a coach is fired or – hired, or there's so many coaching moves instead of after the bowl game, or you know what I'm saying, Steve? It just causes so much disruption to a season. I might agree with Sean Clifford here on the second one. I might pay players to play in bowl games. I don't know. Where does it end? I don't know that. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But I know. I don't think that's the worst idea in the world. While I understand why they're doing it, I still the thing, and this is really I'm going off course here a little bit.
That's fine.
But I would like to know behind closed doors how teammates of players who opted out, how before a bowl game, of opting out of a bowl game, not opting out entering the draft, but opting out of a bowl game, how they really feel. And I don't know that. I don't know. And I would also like to talk to players who opted out and exactly why of bowl games, why they decided to do that. When you have people like Saquon Barkley and Miles Sanders who decided they would play and they could easily have opted out. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm just curious more than anything, what prompted them to play in the bowl game? What prompted others to decide to opt out?
It's interesting because if they were to expand the college football playoff to 12 or 16, you're trying to think of different ideas.
Yep.
If they were to do that, you and I both know the money has a chance at minimum to double.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Should there, out of that money, then a pool be given to the players that participate in it to prevent opt-outs in the playoff?
Yes. I think that's at least something to be discussed. And where does how much money would that take? I don't know that. I think, but at least, somebody, let's say it's $5,000. Does that prevent somebody from opting out? I don't know. That's up to everybody. But say it's $10,000. Does that do it? I don't know. But I think that's at least a place to start to discuss that. And, I mean, I understand it. I get, Jalen Smith, it was such a freak injury.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. I mean, it wasn't just a knee injury. It wasn't a run-of-the-mill torn ACL. It was a freak injury.
Right.
And I get it. But there are other guys like, I think I read last month that Jake Butt, who I guess suffered a torn ACL in a bowl game for Michigan, said he would do it again.
Yes.
He'd play in the bowl game again. So it's everybody's different. It's just everybody is different. But, yeah, I think that, Steve, getting to your question, I think that's a starting point. That's something that should definitely be discussed.
Yeah, because what's interesting about that is that let's take Jameson Williams, who got hurt in the national championship game, and Mechie got hurt in the SEC championship game. They were both non-contact injuries that could have happened in the 7-on-7 drill in Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, some of these injuries, I won't say a lot of them, but some of them can happen in practice. and non-contact drills, yeah. And, you know, one thing I wrote last month, not last month, it's just a few weeks ago, down in Tampa, I wonder when do players, when their team, let's say a college football player who is draft eligible or who can declare for the draft, who can declare for the draft. Let's say they play on a team, and that team loses its second game, like has its second loss.
Yep.
When does the, and you're out of the playoff picture, especially under with a 14 playoff. When does that start happening? When a player says, "Okay, I'm done," and when does, and I think that could very well happen going forward here.
I have said that repeatedly on this show now for about 3 years, where I said, "What happens when you get?" And I went later in the season.
Okay.
I said, "You're sitting there, and a team is 4-4, right? They're 3-5, and they're looking around. They got the month of November to play. I'm done."
Yep.
Right? And believe me, we're getting closer to that. And here's the issue, right? If you're a coach, you can't criticize it.
No, you can't. You can't, because that's going to hurt your recruiting.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's going to hurt you. And how the players who are still left in the room might look at you. Some of them. Yeah, no, you can't say anything publicly about it. I mean, you know, it's really a difficult position. Look, I'm all for, like, you know, I'm all for paying players, like the baseball situation, which is apples and oranges, I get it. But I'm all for the players, you know, you're getting money. But when does it start impacting the game itself? Now you've got to sit down and figure out some solutions here, and one of them is, you know, it is paying players. It's not just NIL deals. It's literally just forget that veneer. Just pay players. Yeah,
that's, I mean, yeah.
I think we're getting moving closer and closer to that point. Especially as you mentioned earlier, Steve, if you have an 18 playoff or a 12 team playoff, when the revenue is going to be pouring in.
Yeah, I mean, because the money is going to be flowing in, and there's going to be a lot of, well, the schools are getting them. Now, you and I both know that the money coming in from this is going to, you know, benefit the tennis program. It's going to, you know, it's for athletic departments to spend on their programs. I mean, these are not going into Swiss bank accounts. But they have to come up with some solution somewhere, and they've got to be, I think they have to be forward thinking. They can't be reacting all the time.
No, that's what's been going on over the last whatever how many years. It's just, yeah, you're exactly right. There's no foresight, especially at the NCAA. And, you know, it's not really a surprise that the Power Five conferences would like some autonomy. Because they're not getting a lot of direction from the NCAA.
All right, so I do have to ask you. You watched San Francisco yesterday. They got your pack next. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's going to be a tough game. Oh, I was rooting for Dallas. I mean, yeah, for sure. It's not going to be easy. I'm glad they're playing. San Francisco's playing on short rest. I'm hoping that affects them. But I think they have some weapons and they run the ball very well, something the Packers have struggled with. Packers have a terrific pass rush, but they're not great against the run. We'll see what happens. I think Rodgers has to be on, I mean, really on. But I think it's going to be a tough game. I was surprised that it's a 5.5 point point spread. So we'll see. But Steve, that game last night, I can't remember
an
NFL playoff game with so many poor coaching decisions on both sides. More on the Cowboys side, but even I mean, what is Shanahan doing? Okay, you're going to sneak it. Just sneak it. You're shifting offensive linemen. Just snap the ball and go forward. Like, honestly, and. I didn't get it, and then the first play after Jimmy Garoppolo's interception, you have him throwing. I didn't get that either. I'm like, just run the ball. You have the lead. you're running the ball effectively. I mean, we could be here for the next hour talking about all the mistakes that the Cowboys made, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around that because Mike McCarthy has seen Aaron Rodgers throw successful Hail Mary
yes.
passes from a lot further than 40 yards.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, they've done everything right. They're sitting here, 14 seconds left, the clock has stopped, they're at the 40. They might have two chances to throw into
exactly.
the end zone.
Exactly.
And win the game, or tie the game, and have no business tying the game. And when Prescott took off, I sat here with my mouth open like probably all of America did, and just went, what?
Well, yeah, I sat there and went, you got to be kidding me, because it's a play and play.
Yes.
It wasn't an improv and like, okay, he took off. No, no, no. That was a quarterback draw. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It made no sense.
No. Like, so let's take it this way. So Mike McCarthy, I would ask him, so you think you had a better chance of throwing a completion from the 23 or 25 than you did from the 40? You had a better chance on one play from the 25 than you did on possibly two plays from the 40.
Right.
Can you explain that to me?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
he won't be able to.
I mean, no.
He'll come up with some blah, 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 but he can't explain that.
No, I'm still like, oh man. Well, I heard from somebody who we both know, who's a Cowboys fan, and then also my son, who's a Cowboys fan. They were dying throughout the game. One of them used to work at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know who it is.
I know exactly who it is.
He was dying. Yeah, he was literally dying with every play last night. So, and I felt one of my sons likes the Cowboys, the other one likes the Giants. So yeah. The one who likes the Cowboys is just he said it's 26 years. He said, I'm tired of people saying Cowboys fans are bandwagon jumpers. It's 26 years of misery.
No,
playoff
you're not,
misery.
You're
and
not
he's
a,
right.
No, he's right. You're not a bandwagon.
Yeah.
But you're right about Shanahan. Right?
Yeah.
He's a genius. He spends a lot of time making some good plays and other times where he just thoroughly outthinks himself. Don't
yes.
think so much. Just run the play.
Yeah. I mean, Debo Samuel is a tremendous talent.
Right.
Tremendous.
I mean, I'm no expert. I'm no expert. I could scheme up plays for him.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, it's funny. You know, what are the chances Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback of the 49ers in September?
Hmm.
Not strong.
No, I don't think. Look, they got Trey Lance for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he feels that type of quarterback's the wave of the future.
I guess. But, yeah.
No, I'm just saying that's what he thinks. I didn't say he is. But I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio in the Howard Hughes movie. The wave of the future. The wave of the future.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm hoping that the Packers force Garoppolo into mistakes, and I think that'll help. And I think the Packers run the ball with a little more authority than the Cowboys do.
Oh,
and obviously Rodgers is more accurate than Prescott. Even though I like Prescott a lot, but
and Bill, my opinion. The two Packers running backs are better right now than Zeke Elliott. So, all right.
Oh, they are. I agree.
Wow. I mean, so it was a pleasure. Always great talking with you, Rich.
Same, Steve.
Thanks.
You stay warm. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks
Sounds
very
good.
Much
Thanks,
for
Rich. That is the definition of a pro's pro, Rich Scarsella. He is the absolute definition of a pro's pro across the board. His writing style, how he presents himself, everything. I mean, he is a great example to any young individual that gets into media as to how you handle yourself, and that's Rich Scarsella. All right, today's show
is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. All right, since it's going to be so cold tonight and cold tomorrow, it's going to be a cold weekend. What the heck? Let's talk hockey. Josh Getzoff, the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, is going to join us next. Great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the show. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks, plenty of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You've got wrestling tonight at 6, Penn State, Michigan, basketball tomorrow, Nittany Lions and Iowa at 4:30. You got the NFL playoffs. You got the Bengals and the Titans. You've got all sorts of great games this weekend. Bucks and the Rams. You got the Packers and the Niners. You got the Bills and the Chiefs. Yeah, it's going to be cold. So just go to Brewers Outlet now. Take care of it. Take care of it. Do it now. You can listen to the show on the radio as you go along. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with that all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. Also, a great sales staff. Your trade-in's never been worth more, and customer service means everything to them. And a service department that's just terrific. Inspections. Great. Routine, great. Difficult, great. It's really one-stop shopping. That's why they have so many repeat customers, because those customers are all well taken care of by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, cold, near zero, a couple areas maybe below zero tonight. So what the heck? In the spirit of that, let's talk hockey. Let's bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Josh Getzoff. Josh, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Steve. Good to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so let's get to what they have with this team. Let's talk about Jake Guentzel. Because Guentzel right now, he's got 38 points, he's got 20 goals along the way. You know, you see him on an everyday basis. What has allowed him to continue to play at the level that the Penguins need him to play at?
I mean, it's consistency is the one thing, and I feel like that's the one thing that you also hear guys, regardless of the sport, Steve, it doesn't matter what they're playing, they talk about that being the hardest thing to achieve on a day-in and day-out basis, especially at the professional level. And I mean, Jake Guentzel has been nothing short of consistent since he's joined the NHL. We all remember his first game, scoring on his first two shots against the Rangers back in November of 2016. And now here we are where he's just capped off and continuing upon what is now his fifth straight 20-goal season. So he's been unbelievably consistent for the Penguins. And I think it's been an interesting season for Jake, because without Sidney Crosby in the beginning of the year, with no Evgeny Malkin, obviously, until the last couple weeks, there wasn't really that the premier center, that guy that he's always had with him to help enable him to make plays. And I'll admit, I was one of those guys guilty in the first couple weeks of being like, huh, can Jake Guentzel do this without those guys? I don't know. I'm not seeing enough from him as far as the individual efforts to generate offense. He has shut me up pretty quickly since those initial thoughts, those first couple weeks of the season, because he's, you know, been scoring at will. We remember, you know, whatever it was, 18, 19 straight games with a point. Was hampered by the injury that he suffered in Seattle that knocked him out for a couple games, but he picked up right where he left off. It doesn't seem to matter where Mike Sullivan has placed him on the power play he produces. At even strength, obviously, with Sidney Crosby, those two have been absolutely dynamite. And I don't see any reason why I would slow down. I mean, this is a guy that, as Sullivan said yesterday, is probably one of the more underappreciated, productive, and consistently productive skaters in the NHL today. And he continues to prove that yet again, as I mentioned, with another 20-goal season on tap this year.
Very quietly along the way, Chris Letang is a plus 17 on the season. You're watching him all the time. What allows him at the age of 34 to do something like that? Because I don't think a lot of people realize he's a plus 17.
No, this has been, and I hesitate to say this, but I really do believe it. I've been with the Penguins for 7 years, and one of those years was the amazing 2016 season where Letang was just an absolute monster as they won the Stanley Cup that year. But I think this is the best I've ever seen him play. He's been just unbelievable. I mean, to use the word again, consistent, but he's been unbelievably smart in his decision-making when he knows looking at opportunities to pinch at the blue line, making that decision in a split second, and 99% of the time doing it in a situation that benefits the Penguins, which has not always been the case in the past, especially with him. I just think that there's been a level to his game of thought that we have not seen consistently over the last handful of seasons. The speed is back. He's producing, you know, as you mentioned, at a great clip, a plus 17. He's got 30 assists now for the ninth time in his career. I just think that he's been, you know, you look at him and we'll state the obvious. He's in a contract year, and that's, you know, seems to always be something in pro sports that gets players to hit another level when there's more dollar signs involved. But I also look at Chris as a guy that, you know, from everything that I've heard him say to the media and have heard from him directly and speaking with him, he realizes the situation here with this Penguins team, and he knows they have a great chance this season. And there may not be that many great chances beyond this season with this particular core. I think he realizes the situation in front of him. He's clearly elevated his game. And, man, him and Brian Dumoulin, what a pair. They just have been unbelievably strong together, and it's been fun to watch. I mean, you never really feel uneasy with the two of them on the ice, and I don't know if that's always been the case in the past with Letang when he can sometimes ride that roller coaster.
Gina Malkin got a couple goals in his first game back. Hasn't scored since. He had one assist since. I think he had, two goals and an assist in the opener. And you and I both know when guys are coming back, that first game they've got jumped, then that second game they have no legs. I mean, you and I have seen that over and over again. Are you starting to see more legs from him now that he's getting back in, at least into the routine of playing?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to keep in mind, as you know, that there's 30-plus games that he was not on the ice for. It's a lot of hockey, and especially when you're jumping in at that point and a lot of the guys around you have played in, if not all of, most of those 30-plus games. So not only are you stepping in, even though your conditioning's up to speed, it's not quite a game level because you haven't played in a game, and you're stepping in a group that, you know, is up to speed and game level and also up to a rhythm and a routine. And that's not easy to jump into that, regardless if you are one of the best players in the world or not. And I think, to your point, Evgeny Malkin, when he came back against Anaheim last week, it was dynamite. I mean, he scores the couple of goals, the blast on the power play. That was an awesome moment. I think just as far as things go this season for the Penguins, definitely one of the cooler scenes on that goal. And he gets 3 points in a victory, and then, you know, the whole team kind of had a clunker in L.A. a couple nights later. And I think since then there's been a bit of a buildup back in his game. I mean, the one area you really want to watch with him, and Phil Bork and I have talked about it a lot off the air the last couple of games, is the power play, because that's the spot where I think a lot of people were wondering, what's the impact going to be of Gino here? You know, Evan Rodriguez leads the team with 6 power play goals. He had looked really good. He's not on that unit anymore. They bumped him off of it, and understandably so. Brian Rust is back now too, so that, you know, you're going with your best players on your top power play unit. But I think with Evgeny Malkin out there, it's been something that's been interesting going back to Chris Letang, is specifically in the Vegas game, we noticed it a few times. When Letang will get the puck, he's only looking for Malkin. And that has been a problem on that power play the last couple of years, where they've kind of fallen by the wayside, that there's a little bit too much of forcefulness to get the puck to Gino, and he doesn't always put himself in the best position to shoot. So I think that that's going to be something interesting to watch. Now, the Penguins, overall, they went 3-for-8 on the power play of the road trip. With how poor their power play has been this season, that's productive in my mind, and that's a step forward, including the goal against Vegas on Monday night. So I do think that that's something to watch. But as far as Malkin is concerned, what he gives them is one of the best players in the world back. And also what he gives them is something we finally get to see now for the second time tonight, first time at home, with Crosby, Malkin, Carter, and Bluger down the middle. That is a four-headed monster, and I don't think there's a team in the NHL that can match up for that player for player.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because this is the first time that they haven't had anybody on the list?
This is the first time.
Knock on wood?
Yeah, knock on wood, right. This is the first time that they will have nobody on COVID protocol since, I don't know, maybe training camp, right? That was when guys started to go down. So it's been a while. I think when you look at this group, I'm not 100% positive if Danton Heinen and Zach Aston-Reese are going to dress for this game. They're out of COVID protocol. But remember, the Penguins play tomorrow night in Columbus, and that's a division game. Not that this game tonight isn't equally as important, but it might be a lot to ask two guys that have, you know, essentially spent the better part of the last week in a hotel room to play back-to-back games. So I would not be surprised if one of or neither of them are not in the lineup tonight. The interesting thing to watch is Casey DeSmith, because he was not supposed to back up tonight. Yeah. Tristan Jarry is going to start, but Louis Domingue actually took a puck off his leg in an awkward position at the morning skate and left a little bit earlier. And Mike Sullivan said he'll be evaluated and they'll make a decision. But that would be, you know, obviously something that would be called into action as a result of an injury. But I think the initial plan was obviously to have Domingue back up Jarry tonight and then figure things out for tomorrow in Columbus. So to answer your question, yeah, nobody on COVID protocol right now. So that's as positive as things have been in a negative sense, I guess, with that testing on that front.
Which then brings us to the next one. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to any of the players yet or anybody in the organization about the NHL and their stance now, I think beginning February 1, on asymptomatic players and testing. Have you had a chance to talk to anybody about that and have any thoughts on that?
I have not talked to the players about that. I think that news came out the day that we came back from Las Vegas. So there was kind of just, you know, a lot of traveling going on that day for the team. But I personally, I think when you look at the schedule going ahead and just the necessity to play games and if the NHL really wants to finish this season on that set date of April 29th, this is probably the way to go. I mean, you look at what the NBA has done, the NFL has done. I know they've had their moments where things have gotten rough, as have the NHL in recent weeks. But they're powering forward and they're figuring out a way to play. And, you know, for the most part, seem to be doing it in a safe and respectful manner. And that's all you can kind of ask for at this point. I mean, it's definitely, I think we all use the word fluid and evolving and all those kind of buzzwords over the last couple of years. And certainly it continues to be that. But, yeah, to answer your question, I think that this is a good, you know, step forward as far as if the goal is to get the season in, finish things on time, award the cup in the early parts of the summer, then this is what needs to be done.
How crammed will the Penguins' schedule get now with the rescheduling of games?
It gets busier.
Part of that, obviously, is nobody's going to the Olympics. I understand that, but still.
Right, yeah. The main thing is that February essentially was axed because of the Olympics, as you mentioned. And you had your game on, I believe it was February 2nd, the Penguins play the Washington Capitals in Pittsburgh. And then they were not going to play again until the 24th in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Basically, what's happened is games have been moved into that three-week gap, and there's essentially no break. The break now is the All-Star break.
Gotcha.
So the Penguins won't play. As I mentioned, they play the Caps on the 2nd, and then that starts the All-Star break. They are off until February 8th, so through the weekend, where they go to Boston and play the Bruins on that Tuesday night. So that's pretty much that six-day gap, five-day gap is going to be the break, essentially, for them in February. Otherwise, it's going to be essentially a normal schedule as if the Olympics weren't even happening, you know, in another year. So that's kind of what it'll look like. And it'll be busy, but not as busy as some of these other teams. Like, I was talking to Ottawa Senators broadcasters this morning. they're going to have to play 51 games in 99 days.
Oh.
So, I mean, the math there is insanity. So that's not going to be the Penguins situation, because they're fortunate that, you know, they're pretty much at the midway point of the season here over the weekend. They're going to hit it in the Sunday game against Winnipeg. So some of these other teams, like Ottawa, for example, coming into this game, I mean, they've only played on the year 33 games. Penguins are at 39. So that's a pretty big gap as far as making things up in the stretch of a week. So, it's going to be busier for some more than others. I think I saw Tampa Bay only play 6 games in February. But the Penguins will be pretty consistent. I think they have about 8 or 9 now in the month of February.
Yeah, I've got to ask you about the West Coast swing also meant Seattle. So what did you think of Seattle?
I thought that building was the coolest building I've been in the NHL. it's just cool because, I mean, who didn't love the Seattle Supersonics and the old school logos there and all that
stuff?
So they've kept that alive in the sense that the roof is the old Key Arena roof.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did was they blew things up underneath, and the rink is actually underground. It's really cool. So the broadcast booths, this is going to sound kind of strange, but you have to picture the rink is probably, you know, essentially 2 bowls of seating underground. So it's deeper. But the broadcast booths are on ground level.
Yeah.
So as we're calling the game, there are windows where people are walking by outside and they can peer in and see the game happening. It's pretty neat. It's just different. And they, you know, they don't have a center hung scoreboard. They have scoreboards that hang 2-1 in each end of the rink. So that's a little unique also, but the building's beautiful. I had never been to Seattle before we went there, and I really was a fan. I'm a big sushi guy, so we had a good time on that front. But it's great down there. And I have to say, Steve, I did go to the original Starbucks, but
yeah,
it was a 30-minute wait, and I don't love Starbucks that much.
No, but at least you could say you went by it. How about that?
Exactly, right.
No, I think it's great. I thought the NHL made a great move. Preemptive, put it into a market, I think, where it's going to be exciting for them. And not only that, rain waters the ice. It's really great.
It's great. I mean, that between that and Vegas, they've hit 2 home runs on their last 2 expansions.
Yeah, they absolutely have. There's no getting around that. Yeah. I just thought I'd ask, since, I mean, it was the first time in to see something like that. So, you know, it's great that they've embraced it. One final question is, you know, Ottawa, of course, has to come over the border to get here. When you talk to their broadcasters, how much of a struggle has it been because the rules and regulations in Canada are different than here?
Yeah, they are. They're much stricter in Canada. We were up there. We haven't been up there, you know, for probably about a month now, maybe a little bit more as I look at the calendar. But I have to say things may have changed. I may not be totally up to speed from the last time that we were there, but they were requiring negative tests. You know, I think it was within 24 hours of traveling. So you had to be constantly testing when you were coming up and down to play the teams. And their quarantine, I believe, was a little bit longer. And again, that may have changed between then and now. I'm not positive on that, but they have to abide by those rules when they're up there, obviously. And when they come down here, they have to kind of figure out ways within the U.S. government, and the Canadian government to organize things. So I just think it's probably been largely a headache on a lot of fronts for the Canadian teams to deal with. And the big thing now, Steve, is that they're playing games with nobody in the building.
Right.
There.
Yes.
You know, the Penguins are scheduled and will be in this new revamped schedule on February 10th, not that long from now. They go to Ottawa to finish this regular season series against the Senators. And as things stand right now, I was just reading something from the province of Ontario, where the Senators play, obviously, not too long ago, that they're only going to be allowed to have 500 people in the building for that game.
I saw that.
And the Penguins are going to have 18,000 plus here tonight. So it's got to be a hit revenue-wise for these teams and the workers in the building who, you know, rely on those paychecks. Yeah. So it's definitely, you know, there's a lot of people you feel for in these kind of situations that have had to adapt and adjust for quite some time now. And you just hope that, as we've been saying for a while, that maybe better days are ahead. But it's definitely a far different situation up there than it is down here.
Josh, absolute pleasure. I know you've got work to do tonight, and you gave us some time today. I appreciate it, and you very much.
Hey, no problem, Steve. Anytime, and I will talk to you soon.
The outstanding Josh Getzoff, the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Penguins have Ottawa and Columbus. Then they got to go up eventually to Ottawa. So they do have to cross the border at some point, which brings with it, as Josh pointed out, its own challenges. Well, today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And six great flavors of slushies in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, all together now, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We will talk to you tomorrow from Carver Hawkeye as the Nittany Lions take on Iowa here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.